At this point, between the videos and the singing, I don't know much more what I can say. Thanksgiving means a lot of things to a lot of people. Depending on your background and your family traditions and your season of life, it can mean a lot. For single college students, Thanksgiving looks a lot different than parents with kids at home or for those who are empty nesters. But for a lot of us, Thanksgiving is filled with joy and food and fun and family traditions. But what do you do when you know Thanksgiving's around the corner and you don't feel grateful? I wonder how many of us in this room, you're here tonight, you know you're supposed to be thankful. This is Thanksgiving week. But you can't help but to think about what's hard. Like right now, this week, in this moment, you know Thanksgiving's around the corner, but what's on the top of your mind are the hardships and the losses of the last year, or of the last few months, or maybe even the last few days. Does the Bible have anything to say to us when we know we're supposed to be grateful, but we just feel at the end of our rope? The title for the sermon tonight is Gratitude for a Great God in a Low Place. Gratitude for a Great God in a Low Place. King David wrote a psalm for this occasion. He's not going to tell us to give thanks because our circumstances are great. He's not going to tell us to look around at our life and to look at the gifts that we have and to give thanks because the things that we have are great. No, when times are tough, what King David is going to show us is to lift our eyes beyond our circumstances to God's character and to show us that we can give thanks because our God is great. And the main thing I think we're going to see tonight is that David's going to tell us, give thanks to God for his faithful love and great glory, even in the middle of hardship. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to open to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. And I pray for those of us here tonight that God would give us the ears to hear what he wants to speak to us from his word. Psalm 138 is broken up into three simple parts, and so we're just going to take it in three parts. The first thing that we see here in Psalm 138 is personal gratitude. Personal gratitude. Verse 1 says, I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. Now here in verse 1, that word thanks, when he says, I give thanks, O Lord, if you have the ESV, your translation matches mine, but depending on your translation of the Bible, sometimes this can be translated as praise. I give you praise. Now, I think at this point, we could just say, when you're giving thanks to God, you're praising God. So we still get there, depending on how that Hebrew word is translated. But what David is saying here is that he's giving wholehearted thanks to God, wholehearted gratitude. Now, I'm sure to a person in this room, we've all sat around at a Thanksgiving dinner table or in some small group where Everyone's going around in a circle sharing what they're thankful for. And when it gets to you, you make up some obligatory thing that sounds good. Like, I'm thankful for my family, or for my job, or for my home. And now those are all things to be grateful for. Those are all gifts. But you shared half-heartedly. You didn't take the time to do the heart work to share in a way that you meant it. David here is saying that he's giving wholehearted thanks, sincere, earnest, heartfelt gratitude to God. Now, what we're going to see in verse 7 is he talks about walking in the midst of trouble, in the middle of hardship. So how can David, walking through hardship, say that he can give wholehearted thanks to God? Well, verse 2 says this. He says, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. See, David is able to give wholehearted, sincere thanks to God, not because he looks around at his circumstances, not because he looks at his life and can say, the things that are happening right now are awesome, but because of who God is. That God has steadfast love towards him. Do you believe tonight in your heart that the God of the universe is a God of love who knows you and loves you with a patient and steadfast and enduring love? A love that perseveres even when you're unlovable, when you're not lovely, even when you don't feel like you should be loved. God loves you because he is love. It is who he is. And that he's faithful. That even if you look around at your life and you might wonder to yourself or in your heart, does God care about me? Are the things that are happening in my life make me wonder if God really knows what's going on, if he's really in control, if he really cares about me? And yet, when David takes his eyes off of what's just going on around him and he lifts his eyes to see who God is, we can be reminded that even when your circumstances are not the way you want them to be, God is the same. He's good, and he's loving, and he's faithful. Verse 2 continues, and it says, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I was reading the English pastor, Charles Spurgeon, on this passage, and he was talking about how here, what we see in this verse is that God stakes his name, his reputation, to his word. If God's word fails, if God's word turns out bad, then God's name goes bad. If God fails on his word, then his reputation fails. God has staked his own glory and reputation to his word so that we could be confident that if God is a God worthy to be followed and worshiped and praised, he has to follow through on his word. It's exalted above all things. I wonder, for those of us here, if we're struggling to be grateful in this season, I wonder if one of the factors might be that we've neglected God's word And he's inviting you right now to approach him in his word in a fresh way. We see God in the text. The text of Scripture is a window into God's character. And so if you are struggling in this season to remember who God is, to be grateful, God's inviting you. Look at me. See me. Remember me. Look at his word. He's faithful. In the verse 3, he says, on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. So David's having personal gratitude towards God because God is a God who answers prayers. He can say, God, you answered me. The same day that I called to you, you answered me. I wonder what our prayer lives are like right now. If you're anything like me, prayer can be hard. It can be really hard to spend time before God and to pray, not just ambiguous, vague prayers that can't even be answered. I wonder, when is the last time you prayed prayers that God could actually answer? And it's hard because it's vulnerable. To pray bold, specific prayers is scary because God might say no. But sometimes he says yes. David says, on the day I called, you answered me. But here's what's fascinating. The end of verse 3 says, this is how God answered him. My strength of soul you increased. So David says, God, you answered me the day I called you. I'm walking in the midst of trouble. I called to you. You answered me. But not by changing his circumstances, but by strengthening his soul. See, sometimes God answers our prayers not by changing what's happening around us, but by changing what's in us. And maybe, even when we pray prayers where we feel like God's saying no, he's answering us by strengthening our soul. So here's personal gratitude from David. But the next part, I think what we see is future global gratitude. So it moves from personal gratitude to global gratitude. Verse 4. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Okay, could you imagine this Thanksgiving season? Down to the people who are in charge. So people from Mayor Chicago, Brandon Johnson, to Governor Pritzker, to President Donald Trump, to other presidents and prime ministers and kings and even the tyrannical ones, that they would hear the words of God and give thanks to Jesus Christ. That sounds unimaginable to us. That sounds crazy. That's a pipe dream. And yet, David opens up a window into the future and he says, all the kings of the earth one day will give thanks to the Lord. Why? For they have heard the words of your mouth. They've been evangelized. That they've heard the words of God. They've heard the gospel. They've heard about Jesus. And when they hear about Jesus, they give thanks to God. See, when Christians worship, Christian gratitude never stays private. It always overflows and it spills over into sharing with other people so other people see who God is. So David's having this personal moment of gratitude towards God, but then immediately his mind goes, the Spirit leads him to seeing this future reality where not just him as an individual will be giving thanks to God, but all the kings of the earth. This takes eyes of faith to believe and to see. I wonder, church, how during this Thanksgiving season that God might move our eyes, fix our gaze, not just on our own gratitude towards God, but actually fix our eyes on the lost who don't know him, who don't know that God is a loving God of steadfast love and faithfulness. But personal gratitude always overflows into sharing with others. And one day, the world will see. The end of verse 5 says, "Great is the glory of the Lord." That word glory in the Hebrew can mean heaviness or weightiness. There's something about the glory of God. There's something about the character of God that's weighty, that's heavy, that demands gravitas. God is not a floating old man in the sky hoping we do nice things for him. God is glorious and deserving of our worship and our gratitude. Verse 6 says, "Though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar." You see what's happening here? It's this almost ironic picture. So the glorious God, though he's high, he regards the lowly, the humble. The high God cares about the low ones, the low people, the broken ones. But the haughty, the prideful, the ones who lift themselves up, the ones who think that they're above, he distances himself from them. He knows them from afar. He doesn't identify with them. So if you're here tonight and you feel low and broken, like life has not gone your way, things are hard. In the Bible, that's actually a good place to be. Because what that means is that if you're willing, in that place, God can work on you. God can work in your heart. If you're willing to be humbled, if you're humble, God will care for you. He'll regard you. He'll care for you. He'll move towards you. And he showed us that this was true in the person of Jesus. God looked at the world. I mean, it's easy for us to look at the world and see it's broken. God looks at the world, he sees the world is messed up, and it's broken, and it's messy, and it's full of sin. And yet, God sends his only son out of love for humanity, that his son would die, be lifted up on a cross, and be buried in a tomb. Why? So that those who experience the conviction of their sin, who are brought low because of their sin, who know that they're nothing but broken sinners before God who deserve his wrath and his punishment. That's all I am before God. That anyone who would place their faith in Jesus could be forgiven. That those who feel like there's no hope in life could have hope for eternity. This is how the Lord has regarded the lowly. And this is why we see, this is why we can agree even with what David says in verses 7 and 8, where we see that he's preserved in hardship. Verse 7 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hand." Because of what Jesus has done for us, that he walked out of the tomb, that our sins were left in the grave, that our names are written in God's book of life for eternity and no one can blot them out. Whatever trouble you're going through, even if you look at your life right now and you say with David, though I walk in the midst of trouble, I look at my life and this is hard. You can say, but God preserves my life. Because what we see in verse 8 is that the steadfast love of the Lord, O Lord, endures forever. See, this is where the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about how what we're going through, our suffering is light and momentary affliction. I mean, if you're anything like me, when you go through suffering, the last thing we think is that this is light or momentary. But the reason why he says that is because he knows what's coming. And he says, it doesn't even compare to what's coming. Whatever suffering I'm going through now, it doesn't even compare to the glory that's coming. So when it says here, your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever, whatever hardship we go through, there is nothing that can happen to you during this life that's going to last forever. But you know what lasts forever? The steadfast love of the Lord. At the end of this life, all our pain and hardship, they go away. But the love of God remains forever for those of us who believe in Jesus. And so maybe you're here even tonight on a Sunday night, but maybe you know that you haven't fully made that decision to place your faith in Jesus. Or maybe you've walked away and you're wondering, maybe I should think about this again. God's inviting you to see that his love for you perseveres longer than even the hardness of your heart. So turn to him. Run to Jesus. His arms are open for you. See, because of this, David talks with so much confidence, like we can. Verse 8 says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. He will. Maybe you wonder, maybe you've been in seasons where you wonder, maybe God made a mistake. My life's not supposed to be this way. I had my life planned out. I was not supposed to end up here. But we can say with confidence, because of who God is, he will fulfill his purpose. And David ends in that last sentence with a confident word of prayer. He goes to God. And maybe this is where you need to go. Maybe this is what you need to do. David prays, God, don't forsake me. Don't forsake the work of your hands. See, because of who God is, because he's faithful, he'll never turn his back on you. That when you are in the middle of hardship, you can go to God with confidence and say, God, don't leave me. Don't forsake me. And he won't, because he's promised that he will never leave you or forsake you because of what Jesus has done. What I want to lead us into is where I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And I want us to take just 1 or 2 minutes to reflect and to pause. Maybe you're here and this is exactly where you're at. This is a season, not one where gratitude is at the forefront of your mind, but hardship. I want us to take some time, in light of what we've heard, in light of Psalm 138, to reflect on who God is. to reflect on the gifts that he's given and to give him thanks. So let's take a moment now and just give thanks to God in light of Psalm 138.